Well, good morning. Before we move into the message today, I was very moved by that song that we sang, and where it says that God's goodness is chasing after us. I took my boys camping Friday evening through Saturday morning, and this was the first time I've taken them camping, and so there were a lot of things that I had to help them be aware of. I think, you know, they each burned themselves in the fire, which was cool, because that's like a rite of passage, you know. I made them pass their hands through the fire. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. Maybe next time. And so, but anyways, they helped with things. So there's some things I had to be like, hey, don't, you know, hey. And so I was thinking about that image that if we can think of with our kids or maybe even somebody else that's about to step into something that we know could be dangerous for them. I don't know about you, but my knee-jerk reaction is to, like, yell. Anybody else in here, you just yell. You don't know what else to do. You just, hey, you know, or whatever. I won't do it because I have a microphone on, and I would like you to stay in the building. I have a pretty good yelling voice. I don't exercise it very much, but it's there. And so anyways, the idea of maybe a kid's about to do something, and you yell at them, stop. I was thinking about that in this idea of God's goodness chasing after us because I don't yell in that moment because I'm angry. I don't yell in that moment because I have an ill intent toward my children or to the person that I'm trying to help. It's my goodness that causes me to do that. And I was just thinking about this idea that even when it comes to God's correction in our lives, that sometimes God's waving his hand saying, stop. Don't go there. Don't do that. It's still his goodness chasing after us, even in those moments. In the moment that I have to correct my children, it is the goodness that I feel toward them and toward what I desire for them that still chases after them in those moments. Are you thankful for the goodness of God that chases you, even sometimes when it doesn't feel like goodness? But he has goodness in mind for us. And as I think about the goodness of God, I realize that one of the ways God has expressed his goodness toward me is through my wife, Charity. We celebrated 10 years of marriage on Thursday, this past Thursday. Yeah. You know, great. That's what I always tell people. At 10 years, it's kind of like you can say a couple of things about marriage. You know, 25, you can say a lot of things about marriage. 50, it's just like, tell me something, please. But at 10 years, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you know a couple things. And so we celebrated 10 years of marriage together, and I feel like one of these gifts in my life, a grace gift, we're going to talk about that idea of grace gifts today, a grace gift in my life was Charity. In the time leading up to us meeting one another until marriage, you know, me being the guy, and sometimes guys just do dumb things, I kind of like played the antagonist in our relationship, and she was like the protagonist. And I just did stuff to try to mess things up, and thankfully, she was a grace gift in my life that hung on through me being dumb and eventually married me and helped me be less dumb. And anybody else in here, thankful your wives helped you be less dumb. And so she's just been this grace gift in my life. It's funny because I saw another couple in our church, a younger couple in our church that's been married for some time, post about them meeting and getting married. And from the time they met to the time they got married, it was just like a couple of months. And she put in there, she said, I never want my kids to do this, but I'm sure glad I did it. And I feel like that's like all of our stories. I'm just like, I don't want my kids to necessarily do it the way I did it, but I'm sure glad that it worked out, and it's just a funny thing. I guess that's just putting it in our paths, parents, that the day's going to come where we're going to have to be like, we don't like going back and saying, well, you know, I did it that way, but you're not allowed to do it that way. But maybe you could think of other grace gifts in your life. Maybe it is your spouse or a friend or something else. But a grace gift is defined as somebody giving you something that you feel honestly undeserving of. And God does the same thing toward us. I think we're all familiar with the word charismatic, but inside the word charismatic is this word charisma. And a lot of times we use the word charisma when maybe we're talking about a politician that just captivates our hearts and our minds, like, wow, they've got a lot of charisma. Or it could be the same thing with maybe a movie star or a music artist. They just carry a lot of charisma. Some people define some preachers as, man, they're just a charismatic preacher. When the term is used often in Christian circles, charismatic may be defined by a more contemporary style of worship like you experience here. Or people might say, well, charisma or charismatic is defined when people lift their hands. And, you know, some people grew up in that. Some people didn't grow up in that. Charismatic could be defined by somebody that believes that God still miraculously heals, that God still calls us to place our hands on the sick and believe that he can make them well. Some people would even deduce the idea of charismatic just down to the person that invites the Holy Spirit to have an active role in their everyday life. And that's kind of what we talked about last week as we've been now, we're 3 weeks into this series, He's God Too, talking about the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about these things that grieve the Holy Spirit inside of us as he lives inside of us. And that if we say we are a person of the Spirit, we're asking God, as the Bible tells us, to help us keep in step with the Spirit, and that we don't want to get out of sync with the Spirit. And so today, though, as we talk about this word charismatic, you may ask yourselves if we define ourselves as a charismatic church, or sometimes the same, kind of a synonymous word is Pentecostal, but sometimes you don't like to throw that word around because it makes people think of a lot of things, some good things, some bad things. But here's kind of our stance. Is that we believe that everything God made available to the New Testament church that we read about, that we see, he still makes available to us. Some people believe that those things stopped at some point. They ceased with the early apostles. And we just believe the Bible teaches that all of those things are still gifts to us through the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to view them in a passive way, because I know some others who say, well, we believe that God can heal, we believe that God can speak prophetically through somebody, you know, but it's just not something that we, like, encourage. And we're just kind of not on the passive side, that we're saying, well, we believe that the Bible teaches us to not just believe that God can, but believe that these things should be desired and pursued as people of God. And we'll talk about the main reason why in just a moment. Originally, though, this word charisma literally means grace gift. Grace gift. And it was the word that the Apostle Paul used when he taught the church about spiritual gifts. And there are several places in the Bible that Paul addresses the idea of spiritual gifts. But one of the primary places is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14. We're going to look together at a little bit in 1 Corinthians 12. Would you look with me? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, and then we'll go to verse 4 through 7. It says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed," or some other verses say, "I don't want you to be ignorant about these things." Verse 4 says that there are different kinds of gifts. That's that word, charisma. "But the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Let's hang there for just a second. Verse 6 says, "There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." I don't want you to stretch that beyond where it's supposed to go. It's not saying at all that, like, all these other religions and all these other ways that God works, it's just the same God working in different ways. That's not what it's saying. He is still speaking in this context of a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus is Lord. So it's not this broad. It's just saying, though, that there are many ways that God works these spiritual gifts out of us, but not the idea that God works in all of these different religions in different ways and it's the same God. That's not what he's saying. I want us to look at a few things out of this scripture, though. The first thing says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant." And apparently, there was a lot of confusion surrounding these gifts and these workings that existed even 2,000 years ago. I mean, they first came on the scene, and man, people are just exercising these things as the Holy Spirit's working in them, and then they're starting to kind of, God's using the Apostle Paul and the writers of the early church and the scriptures to help bring some understanding around these things, and that's really what Paul's doing. And Paul's saying to the churches, what he says to the churches is what God's saying to the churches. That's what we believe scripture teaches, that all scripture is God-breathed, and that these men that were writing these books were led along by the Holy Spirit, giving instruction to the churches. So as Paul's saying these things, God is speaking these things. So Paul says, listen, church, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be in the dark. But really, it's God saying, hey, church, these wonderful things are happening, and I want you to know about them. I want you to see what's happening, and I don't want you to be confused. God's desire is not that we're ignorant concerning these gifts, which means his desire is that we are informed about them. And anything that God wants us to be informed about is important. So with the above phrase, Paul begins this section of instruction and explanation that runs for three chapters in the Bible. So then it goes on to say that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. It's interesting that he uses these three words, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. If you remember back to week one, for a moment, we talked about this idea of the Trinity, God working as it's one God in three persons, and it seems to make even a reference here of these ways that God's working, the same Spirit, the same Lord, Jesus, and the same God, God the Father. Paul's message is that there are many gifts, there are many different ministries, there are many different activities with which those gifts can be expressed, but it's the same God working in each of us, moving and accomplishing these things. So then he goes on, he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Why does the Holy Spirit give us spiritual gifts? Why does he give us these gifts? There's one very simple answer, and here it is. The gifts of the Spirit are for the service of the lost and the good of the church. These gifts that God gives us and exercises in us are for the service of reaching lost people and for the good or the building of the church. And so these gifts are released in different ministries to build all people. And when we exercise these gifts and ability that God, when we exercise them for us, for ourselves, we miss it. It's not until we begin to employ these gifts in the service of bringing glory to God and the service of helping other people that ultimately they can turn into joy for us. And I like to talk about this sometimes because everything that God puts in us and everything that God does through us serves three purposes. I mean, you could literally throw anything at me and I'll say, here are the three purposes that that thing serves. And the first one is always for the glory of God. Everything that he does in us and through us is to show who he is and to point to him and to point to Jesus. And so it gives God glory. And then at the same time, it's for the good of other people. Everything God does in you and through you is for the good of the person sitting next to you. If you are operating in his ways, there are good things coming out of you for people at all times. And even that means sometimes when we have to have the difficult conversations. Even in our conflict between one another, if we're working toward the same goal of peace and moving God's kingdom forward, all of these things are good for other people. And then lastly, the way it all works out is that as we're walking in his ways, as we're walking in his wills, as we're bringing him glory and helping other people see him, and we're being good for other people, ultimately it serves our joy. And we find a joy in all of these things, and even and especially in these spiritual gifts. And I love the idea that he says these gifts are given to each one. Not to some, not to the pastors, not to the missionaries, not to those that we want to think are some elite class of Christian. He says, no, you step into relationship with Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, and he begins to exercise gifts through you. I didn't think about this, but say this with me. I can use the gifts. God wants to use you. If you are under the sound of my voice, I don't care today if you gave your life to the Lord yesterday or maybe at the close of our time together, as God's stirring your heart, you're going to give your life to Jesus. As soon as you step in a relationship with the Lord, God can begin to exercise these gifts through you. The big thing is, are we willing to be used? Okay, let's take the rest of our time together and look at these gifts. What kind of gifts? What do they look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says this. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We're going to categorize these nine gifts. We're not talking about all nine today, don't worry. You're like, oh my goodness. We're going to categorize these nine gifts into these three categories: revelation gifts, vocal gifts, and power gifts. Now, there's all kinds of categories that people have made up for all these different things, but for what we're looking at, those are the three ways that we're going to break them up: revelation gifts, vocal gifts, and power gifts. I want to talk real quick about one thing with the gifts of the Spirit that I think sometimes we may misunderstand, and here it is. Some people will read this list and assume that God gives Andrew the gift of knowledge, and he gives that gift forever. Andrew, here's the gift of knowledge. It's yours. Please don't lose it. And that he possesses this gift. And then he gives Miranda, I know your name, he gives Miranda the gift of faith. Here's the gift of faith. It's yours. Please don't lose it. And that these gifts belong to them, and these are the ones that they use for the rest of their lives. But I don't think that's really what Scripture teaches us. The Holy Spirit owns all of the gifts at all times, and he lives inside of you. It says that one and the same Spirit works all of these things, all of these gifts, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I don't believe the Scripture teaches that he gives to us individual gifts, but that he distributes gifts to us individually, uniquely. The call of God on your life is custom tailored. I do believe that you will find yourself exercising some of the gifts of the Spirit more often. I believe that God will use people in specific gifts often. But that's very different than saying, this is my gift that I use, and it's the one he gave me. Does that make sense? You can have, so if you have this understanding, I have the gift of prophecy, it's mine, and that's what I do, is different than saying, well, God gave me, you know, all of these gifts, and he just lets me know, and he'll exercise them in me at the time that he wants to. And what I notice is a lot of times he uses the gift of prophecy. Do you see the two differences there? Okay. Our job ultimately is not to claim ownership of a specific gift. Our job is to be open to being used in all of the gifts. Okay, so let's move on to the gifts for a moment. Here's the first one we're going to talk about in the revelation gifts. We're going to talk about three gifts today. The first one is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit allowing you to know something specific that you did not and could not learn by natural means in any given situation. Because we have to remember, if it's a spiritual gift, it's not proceeding from us. And so if there is something that I could just know, then that would not be a spiritual gift. So the idea of God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, exercising this gift, this word of knowledge, is Him exposing something in a specific situation that you could not have found out or known by yourself. And maybe it helps to just add this one word. So you have the word of knowledge. Maybe you can also think about it as the word of God's knowledge. That there are things He knows and that He may choose to help you bring to light in a situation that you didn't know. And so God, knowing it, speaks to you, and in that moment, you speak, and it's something that you didn't know and that others didn't know. I think that we also have to think of it this way, that we have to think about it in the idea of calling and affirming as well. Because I believe that God speaks directly with all of us. And if we're always relying on getting a calling from God or requiring a person to speak to us always about situations, I think we've got it wrong. I think we have to realize that God wants to have a relationship with you where He's speaking things to you. When God called me, I knew when I gave my life to the Lord that God was leading me to give my life to preaching and teaching His word and equipping people for ministry and counseling people and walking alongside of them and helping people come to know Jesus. That's what I want to devote my entire life to, God, whatever that looks like. And at first, that was in the idea of being a youth pastor. And I think a lot of that was because I was 14, I was so lost, and this youth pastor made such a huge difference in my life. I was like, God, if I could just make a fraction of the influence this man made in my life and the life of somebody else, that's all I want to do. And I felt God speaking and calling me to that, and then I had other people come along in my life and help affirm that. And so even in the idea of God giving you a word of knowledge, so let's take it outside of you being the one exercising it, but you the one receiving it, I think you can get yourself into some bad places if you're always like, God, just keep sending people words of knowledge. Let everybody tell me what to do. As opposed to saying, God, would you speak to me? And then sometimes He'll speak things to you that you're just like, God, I don't know if that's you. I don't know if it's time to move. Is that really you speaking? Is that me? And I think God is so kind in times of like that He can send somebody along your way that may exercise the word of knowledge or one of these other that we're going to talk about to help affirm what you already feel like He's saying to you. And to try to put the one in front of the other, I think, is to get yourself in a bad place, because you'll always look to people to speak to you things that God's trying to speak to you. And He may withhold His voice until you say, God, I know I've been looking for everyone else to tell me, but would you tell me? And then in the uncertainty, He's so good to bring people to say, here's what I believe God's saying to you. And when it's in these moments where the word of knowledge is exercised, it's so profound in our lives. And it causes us to go, whoa, God is so good. Because I thought about this thing, and then somebody came to me and said, you know, I feel like this is what God's saying to you. Wow, that produces worship in us. That produces something so wonderful inside of us. And to be the kind of person that's also exercising that toward other people is very special as well. You know, I think, too, that as you're walking with your life surrendered to the Holy Spirit, as you're asking God, would you use me in these different ways? God, I just want to be available to be used. That there are times you will operate in the word of knowledge and you may not even be totally aware of it. That there are times that you are having conversation with people, and this is my greatest prayer for everyone that says they're a servant leader here at Chapel Hill. Every one of our teams that works in our nursery or is a greeter or is a host or works in production or is on this stage or is a prayer partner or is in our security team or in our parking lot, my prayer is, God, would you let them move in the gifts of the Spirit? Because one of these people could encounter somebody in the parking lot that's walking in this place just thinking, man, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't even know if God's real. And there's so many doubts that are inside of us, so many things that we're not sure about. And I pray that in a small interaction with somebody in our parking lot that says, hey, good morning, how are you? But all of a sudden, they feel something. They're not totally sure about it. And they begin to engage in conversation, and God can utilize that person to speak a word of knowledge into that person's life, exposing something that that parking lot person had no idea. I don't even know who you are. But all of a sudden, they begin to exercise the gifts of the Spirit and change a person's life right there in the parking lot. And that can happen in your workplace. That can happen in your school. That can happen in the grocery store. That can happen anywhere as you're walking open to God using the gifts of the Spirit. You know, one of the ways that we see Jesus doing this in Scripture is he encounters the story that we know of as the woman at the well. And Jesus, you're like, yeah, but it's Jesus. Of course he knows. Here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. Scripture teaches us that Jesus was fully God and fully man. It actually teaches us that he laid down a lot of his divine rights to come and be a human among us. Jesus displays the life of a man who says, I'm open to whatever you want to do in my life, God. That's how I believe Jesus displays for us. Jesus displays the life of somebody moving through the Holy Spirit in the perfect way possible. A person who is perfectly laying their lives down and listening to the Holy Spirit. And he encounters this woman at a well. And he begins to talk to her. And he says to her this idea about her husband. He begins to talk and she says, well, I don't have a husband. And that's partly true. And people try to pull this stuff on pastors all the time. They're like, just tell the truth. She's like, yeah, I don't have a husband. And he says, yeah, I know you don't have a husband. You had five of them, but the man you're with right now is not your husband. And she's like, dang it. I thought I had him on that one. And Jesus exercises this word of knowledge. He doesn't know this woman. This is the first time they've encountered one another. And she says something, but he knows there's more going on to the story. And he says this thing about her life that begins to open her up because she says, who are you? And he begins to minister to her and tell her who he is. And God can exercise these words of knowledge in us as well, revealing things that we didn't know in situations that people need to know. Here's the second one, discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. The word discernment means to distinguish. It's this idea that discernment is not about your opinion, but it's founded on absolute truth. And we'll talk in just a moment about this idea of discernment, but I think the idea of discernment as Christians is a little bit different than the gift of discernment, this distinguishing between spirits. It's very simply this. The gift of discernment is knowing what is God and what is not. The gift of discernment is being able to see past what's in front of you, past what somebody's presenting or what somebody's saying or what's going on, and seeing what's actually happening behind the scenes. And like we were talking about, and with many of these gifts, like wisdom and knowledge and faith, all of us as Christians are called to carry a measure of it. And so it's not saying, well, I don't have the gift of wisdom or the gift of faith or the gift of discernment, so I don't need any wisdom in my life. I don't need any faith in my life. I don't need any discernment in my life. Because Scripture says, don't be unwise, but be wise. Scripture says to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. Scripture says that we live by faith and not by sight. And so Scripture teaches that all of us as Christians, as we're growing, as we're maturing, as we're learning more of who God is, as we're growing in Him, that we all carry these measures of discernment, of understanding what's really going on, that somebody's saying something to your face and you're just like, yeah, but I don't know if that's true necessarily. But you also have to be careful because it's not the gift of suspicion. And we can become very cynical and very suspicious of everybody. And you have to be careful because that can be a very fine line. but learning as we grow in wisdom to discern what's true and what's not, what's good and what's bad, all of those things. But when it comes to this gift of discernment, it's different, this distinguishing between spirits. And we have to understand that there are spiritual forces at work behind everything that we do. I think, hopefully not, but we as people are tempted to make things all about what we see. And this is probably, honestly, one of the greatest skills in making peace between people and not reacting in situations. Because when somebody comes against you, maybe in anger, maybe they're malicious, maybe somebody in your workplace is trying to root you out and mess you up, and all you're doing is working hard, and you're just trying to be faithful in what you're doing, but somebody's coming in and trying to just mess that whole thing up, you have to understand that there are forces at work behind those things that people are doing to us. And I think that that was a lot of the way of why Jesus could operate in compassion, and at times when he would call it out. That the Pharisees were men that said, yeah, we love God, we follow God, but they were acting in ways that were not God. And he was quick to say, that's not right, and that's not good. But at the same time, there were people that were acting in ways, and he could see beyond. He could see the hurt that was in them. He could see how the enemy was trying to work within them to mess with situations. And it caused him to not speak out of reaction to what they were doing, but to speak to the root cause that was behind it. And this idea of understanding spiritual forces at work in Ephesians chapter 6, it's not on the screen, I'll read it for you real quick, says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And that's the idea of discernment, is understanding what is the actual force at work behind any given situation. The gift of discernment is useful to root out false teaching. So if I was up here spitting out things that were not biblical, things that were not of God, there's a gift of discernment that can rise up in you to realize, whoa, hey, that's not right, that's not God. The gift of discernment can be used for false belief. Maybe you've received something false. You've been believing something false. This could be when you're operating in a sinful way and you really don't recognize it, that God can use someone to exercise a gift of discernment to help expose something inside of you that's false. The gift of discernment can expose false motive. You say yes, but you mean no. You smile, but inside you frown. You say okay, but inside you mean yeah, right. You say I'm with you, but inside I'm not with you. And the gift of discernment God can use in moments to help turn people from false understandings. It can help promote unity in the church because there are forces, believe it or not, guys, there are forces that want to tear us apart from one another. And God has given us a gift to realize that's not him. And he can exercise that in you to recognize those things and learn how to deal with them. Here's the last one we'll look at today. The word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. The word of wisdom differs from the word of knowledge. Because remember, wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is the ability not just to know, but to know what I should do, how I should take what I know and move forward with it. We may have an idea of what we need to accomplish, but we have no idea how to accomplish it. We want to move in God's will, but where, God? When? In Acts chapter 27, we find Paul as a prisoner of the Romans on a ship, and he's captive. It's such an interesting story because at the critical moment when there's a storm on this ship and it's being tossed and turned and everybody thinks that they're doomed, Paul, the man of God on board, the man who believes in Jesus, who's in chains because of his testimony of Jesus, who has the Holy Spirit living inside of him, in that moment, something rises up in him and he says, listen, no one's going to die here. And it says that he was speaking, God was speaking through him. It was him exercising gifts of the Spirit. And he says, no one's going to die here. Here's what we need to do. Begin to throw these things overboard. You begin to do this. And everybody rallies around him as this leader, and he gives them instructions, and the ship sinks, but every single person lives, and every single person makes it to shore on this island. And Paul, in this moment when nobody knows what to do, and everybody's being driven crazy, he steps up as a voice of wisdom in the moment, exercising the gifts of the Spirit. And he brings peace. And who knows who of these people he had an opportunity to tell of the testimony of Jesus. Who knows if any of these prisoners ended up giving their life to the Lord. And every single one of them lived. And there are moments when God will use you, as you're open to it, to exercise this word of wisdom to somebody. There's somebody who desperately wants to know, what do I need to do? And maybe you're thinking inside, I have no idea what they should do. But God, I really want to help them right now. And God can put inside of you this word of wisdom. And I want to encourage you, church. The way that God often does these things is through impressions. A lot of times, it's not this like punch in the back of your head. It can go that way. But sometimes it's just, I have this feeling inside. I'm just going to step out and see. But then you begin, as you exercise those things, to realize more and more when God's stirring something inside of you, when he's putting something in you to exercise on behalf of somebody else. And I want to encourage us in these grace gifts. These gifts that God has given you and he's given me for his glory, for the good of others, and ultimately your joy, that we would be a church that's saying, I'm open, God. I'm open to whatever you want to do in me, however you want to use me. And we're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to respond and ask the Lord to do that. But maybe you're in here today, and before you're thinking about exercising these gifts, you got to receive a gift, the free gift of salvation. If you would, for just a moment, bow your heads and close your eyes with me. If you're in here today and God is stirring inside of you this desire that maybe you don't even fully know yet, what I believe it is God saying, first and foremost, I'm calling you to be a part of me. To lay your life down and follow me, to stop doing it your way and allow me to work in you. And the first step toward that is recognizing that we, the Bible calls, are sinners, and that Jesus gave his life. He lived a perfect life, and he gave his life to forgive us of our sins so that we could step into relationship with him. And if you're in here today and you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, I want to receive this gift, and I want to begin to walk in his ways, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just lift your hand high in the air so I know I'm praying with today. You say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow Jesus today. Amen. If that's you in here today, listen, it's about what you say within your heart. It's not about the words that you speak, but the work that God's doing in your heart. But you just say something like this, Jesus, I want to know you. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the ways that I've walked in. I want to walk in your ways. Would you lead me today? I lay myself down. And I say today that I'm going to follow you. Fill me today with your Spirit. Fill me with your life. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would work in our church in these gifts of the Spirit that are to reach others, that are to build the church, that are to give you glory. And as we walk in all those things, God, they give us joy. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want to invite you for just a moment to stand with me. I think with these gifts, what it makes me think of, what it stirs in me and even talking about the idea of some people believing that these things just aren't for us anymore. I don't know about you, but when I look at the Bible, if anything, I see a God of yes. I see a God of more. I see a God who says, come to me. I see a God who says, higher. I see a God who says, deeper. I see a God who says, be more open to my working. Be more available to me using you. I see a God whose works toward the end of time are not slowing down, but speeding up. Because he's saying the time is now, because the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy others. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to tear us apart. And he's saying, today, now more than ever, I want to do something in you. I want to use you. And I'm just praying that God would stir us up to want to be used. So before we go today, would we just take a moment to invite God to do something in us, to say, God, I'm open. Speak to me. Use me. Stir these up in me. Would you worship together with me for just a moment, church?